Get away from me. Get away from me. I'm going to jump.
Hi, I'm police person Harmony Grunsberg from the LA Police Department Psycho Workshop Unit, and I'd like to share your suicide with you.
It's too late. It's all over. I can't take the bullshit anymore.
Uh-huh. I can relate to that. I've known that experience myself.
That's just what I mean. I just can't take any more of that phony caring and sharing.
Sure, honey.
You can stick your do-gooder middle class through the psychological crap. I'm jumping.
Wait a minute, honey. Oh, have a nice day.
Say you'd like to have a butch voice like mine. Well, in fact, even I don't have a butch voice like mine. The difference is I went to NIDA, and I'm being paid a fortune to tell you that we'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Bill Kahn, Paul Bertram, Peter Whitford, Lance Curtis, Peter Smalley, Vic Davies, Malcolm Lee, Sylvia Karloff, and Stavroula. Special musical guest today out of the darkness, it's Sabu the Elephant Boy and Tamworth's own Dan and Max Ockerman with Arthur Greenslade and his Spirits of Rhythm. But meanwhile, by public demand, supposedly, we're slightly out to lunch.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to the Post Office Training School. My job is to trim off all that namby-pamby civility and teach you to behave like proper Post Office staff. Right, now then, the first drill, Simpson, what do you say when someone comes up to you and asks you for a 33-cent stamp? That's good, that's right. Now, then what do you say?
I'll wreck off. I'm going to lunch.
Excellent. Now then, James, someone comes in at 5:03, tells you they want to send an urgent telegram. What do you say?
Sorry, we're closed.
Wrong, boy, wrong. You do not say sorry. A simple we're closed is quite sufficient. All right, our next subject, parcel sorting. There are three things to watch for when handling parcels. Fragile, handle with care, and this way up. If you see any of these marked on a parcel, what do you do? Fraser? Come on, boy, come on.
Drop it, sir?
No, you sit on it, you stupid boy. You drop all the parcels, and you sit on the fragile ones. All right, then. Now, I'm going to demonstrate a very important technique for those of you who will one day be working in parcel sorting offices. It is known as the parcel pump. Taking the parcel in your right hand, you drop it to the floor, bringing your foot in contact with it after the first bounce. The object is to pump the parcel into the wrong sorting box. Any questions?
What sorting box should we aim for?
Good question, James. You aim for the unclaimed mail chute, and if you get good distance, you'll get it into overseas telegrams and you can go home early. Right now, after three, one, two, three.
What's the use of staying alone in your room? Come here, the music, boom, boom, play. Life is... chocolate. Thank you, darling. Life is a game of continuous salesmanship, my friend. As I always say, helplessly we arrive in this world, add what we can to the general confusion, and then depart with equal helplessness. The impression left behind by most of us usually just about equals the hole left in a bucket of water after a clenched fist is withdrawn, maybe. Huh? Although this has nothing at all to do with chocolates, I thought it was important.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, and it's nice to be with you again. And as usual, I'm speaking to you from my busy surgery here at the clinic in Drainage Hills. And this week's letter comes from Sylvia Loading of West Mucus. I haven't been out your way for a while, Sylvia, not since they tried to reclaim the land around the chemical waste dump there. And you write, Dear Bruce, I have decided to buy a warthog for myself. The reason I have decided this is so there will be something round the house that is uglier than I am. Then my family might appreciate me more. Good heavens, Sylvia, this is dreadful, dear. Really quite sickening. Self-pity. I mean, it's so unattractive. Because I'm sure your family love you very much and think you're just beautiful. Of course they do. Yes, families, you know, let me reassure you about this. Families are terribly good at ignoring all our little shortcomings. You might think that your chronic acne and your slightly pigeon-toed walk and that minor cast you have in your left eye might put them off a bit, but in reality they've forgotten all about these things. They love you in spite of them, Sylvia. So let's forget all this silly nonsense about warthogs, eh? What can we think of as a nice pet for you? I know, not a warthog, but since you're obviously fond of hogs, what about a genuine wild pig? Some of these can grow to a very remarkable size, Sylvia, and you could let yours loose on your family if they ever dared to allow their love and affection for you to lapse. Wild pigs just love to charge and tusk their way through their foes with sheer brute energy. They're easy to feed, too. Just throw them a handful of dead flesh or a couple of sacks of wats or something, and away they go, no problem. It is advisable to keep a buffalo gun handy, just in case they charge you by mistake. Their eyesight isn't too good, a bit like yours, Sylvia. And you occasionally have to fire over their heads to bring them into line, or even sometimes wound them a bit if they get overexcited. But they don't need to be killed or anything. So there you are, a powerful friend and an outstanding pet. And remember, Sylvia, think pretty, okay? This is Bruce Lose's saying, even a pig would be beautiful if it could fly.
Gruber, but we're looking for someone taller.
But there's more.
That's all right. You can get your check at the door. Thank you very much. Next.
I'm here, but I forgot to bring my ukulele, Damien. Is that all right? Have I got
just
time?
Just sing the song. Just sing
someday.
It. Someday. That's wonderful.
Oh.
Next. That is awful.
It's not! You bastard! You're always picking on me! I've been in here 3 times, and you still want me to get it!
Hello, and welcome to Flashpoint, the current affairs show that bears all. And today on Flashpoint, we'll be looking at a startling new development in Australian crime. It's disorganised crime, the fastest growing form of criminal activity in the country, with tentacles reaching into every level of our society and affecting absolutely no one.
That's right! Disorganised crime is incredibly widespread. People just don't realise how bad the problem is. And let's be honest, it is a problem. Do you know that last year alone at least 1,500 banks, 1,500, was not robbed because of poor organization? It's a national disgrace.
Brian Machete Zaccaro, former mafia hitman turned registered nurse, who quit racketeering last year because of its poor organization.
Do you know how many bank jobs was planned in my last week? 16. Do you know how many was actually carried out? 3. That's how bad the organization was.
And how many were finally successful?
-1.
How can it be -1?
Well, it's all a paperwork, mainly.
Arthur the Butcher Tetrazzini.
You wouldn't believe the filing systems we have to use. I mean, we recently switched to a 3-hole punch file system, but of course all the folders are still too old. Then it's impossible to pinch good carbon when you need it. They're just not making it anymore. And of course the photocopy is always out, especially if you're in a hurry on a big forging job or something. Ah, oh, it's bloody criminal.
But some say that poor photocopier maintenance is only part of the problem. They allege that disorganized crime can only flourish through the connivance of the authorities. I asked Luigi, the neoclassicist Gambino, how he would describe the relationship between disorganized crime and certain political figures.
Oh, it's non-existent, Nicky. I think we can safely say that the intricate web of disorganized crime does not extend to those placed in positions of exalted public office. In fact, I think we can go so far as to say that the intricate web of disorganized crime does not extend. Full stop.
Why is that, Luigi?
Oh, sheer disorganization, Nicky. We did try to get a leading barrister on side once with some pictures of him in a compromising situation with a glove puppet, but the photographer left the lens cap on. So the whole thing was a bit of a washout.
But you must admit, there must be some links between disorganized crime and the police force.
Well, there you're right, Nicky. Disorganized crime is definitely being aided and abetted by the police.
How's that?
Well, they're the only organization more disorganized than we are.
This has been
This Weekend.
Dinner Plažovic Special Broadcasting Service Informatie Hotline. Kumar Valok Weekend Package Tour za Sydney kon Tabuli Good Time Travel Bureau. Super Motel Accommodacji. Basilia Meškins Cross Massage Parlor. Gratuito 20 Bella Shilas. Fifi, Carlota, Astrid, Bronwyn, Olga in Orel. Danses Exoticas. Servica Intimici. Pihalak Jolly Boy Strip Salon, the bondage con waterbed for Halik S&M. I tenemos special offer Blažek Erotikon na dem rubber goods. Skribe tabuli Good Time Travel Bureau, box postal Acted 00, King's Cross, New South Wales.
Say, ah.
Ah.
Okay, now, does this hurt?
No.
This?
No.
This? just as I suspected.
What is it, Doctor?
I'm afraid, Mr. Thorpe, you have what we in the medical profession call a duck.
A duck?
Yes. It's a rather large waterfowl, characterized by distinctive plumage and webbed feet. It's not a very common complaint, usually only found among left-handed Tibetan game show hosts and poultry farmers.
Is it serious?
Well, that, of course, depends on where you get it. I mean, a duck under the armpit can be merely annoying, whereas a duck in the region of the groin is very often fatal. Where do you seem to have it?
In this cage.
Oh, yes, so it is. It's a rather angry specimen. Is it very tender?
Yes, terribly. It keeps me awake all night.
Well, then, I'm afraid I'm going to have to operate.
Operate?
Yes, but you needn't worry, Mr. Thorpe. A duckectomy is quite a simple operation. We just have you lie on this operating table, give you a general anesthetic, then wheel you outside and put you on a bus. By the time you wake up, you should be miles away, and the duck will never find you.
And have you done this sort of operation before?
Oh, yes, lots of times. I've cured people of ducks, goats, sheep, salamanders, field mice, and one or two cases of a rather large species of beetle. There's nothing to be afraid of.
And the duck?
Used for research, Mr. Thorpe. There's a rather virulent strain of duck à l'orange going round at the moment, which has science baffled. And, of course, we've yet to find a cure for the common mallard.
I see. Well, that puts my mind at rest on that score. There's just one other thing, though.
Yes?
Well, while I'm under, do you think you might be able to treat another little problem of mine?
And what's that? Oh, no, you needn't worry about that, Mr. Thorpe. Chicken pox clears up all on its own.
I'm from Tassie, living in Adelaide. Came to make movies, couldn't make the grade. So I got into tropical fish where they see there's loot. And one day while watching Channel 4, there came a loud knock on my old front door. And I spilled TV dinner all down my three-piece suit. But I opened it up, and there stood a guy with ankle-length hair about 7 feet high, who fixed me with his eye and revolved his jaw. He said,
"Could I come in and crash? Could I come and sample your corned beef hash? I'm a friend of an associate of you."
Well, I was taught this land is the land of the free, and I'm into SA hospitality, so I asked him in, and he said, could he bring his friends? Like his common-law wife and her daggy kids, plus a heart-playing freak with no eyelids, two Jesus freaks and a couple of aging hens. So I gave them some southern hospitality and let them in with their menagerie, and they toasted me in my own Barossa wine. Then he pulled out a guitar and plunked out a tune while the Jesus buzz jumped round the room singing, "You're the friend of a friend of a friend of mine." A day went by, and a week went by, and then the months began to fly, and still those folks were a-camping in my place. Near my new chaise lounge, they pitched their tent and rolled fat cigarettes, kind of brown and bent, which made me laugh, and then go green in the face. They slept through the day, and they partied all night, while I bred my fish and tried to stay polite. They was always giving some kind of dinner surprise. Like they said they'd made a new kind of dish, which turned out to be my tropical fish, served up with refried beans and cold French fries. So I went to live in the Dunny because I didn't know what sort of deal this was, until one day there came a loud knock on my door. It was my brother Bill, who's an ex-Marine. He said,
"This is the darndest thing I've ever seen."
And he punched a wild, it's fair and square on the jaw.
"See here, Darren,"
he said to me,
"you come from a fine old family tree, and we ain't gonna take no stomping on our face."
So he calls up the clan and he tells them to arm, and they comes from factory, field, and farm, and hurries in a posse, slap bang to my place. Well, they didn't talk much, hardly uttered a sound, but they mushed those guys till they were finally ground and pitched them out into Adelaide sunshine. Then my big brother said as he straightened his tie,
"Get one thing clear, let's shout it out higher. The son of a man who's the father of yours and mine." and hospitality and good manners are all very fine. But it's family first each and every goddamn time.
Hang in there, Lefty. You're wearing him down.
Gee, Slugger, these parliamentary debates get tougher all the time. I thought we would have stopped him at the first reading, but he just keeps coming.
You've opened up a nasty cut to his credibility.
Yeah?
Just keep on working on that and you'll knock him out of the shadow cabinet clear to the back benches.
This was going to be an easy debate, you said. Billy McMahon all over again, you said. Instead, I find he's got a right hook like Joe Bajelke Peterson.
Well, use your guard. Block him with statistics. I told you to table that 800-page report as soon as you stepped into the chamber.
Yeah, but I'm getting too knocked about, Slugger. You brought me on too soon. I still haven't recovered from the weak quota debate.
You can handle it, Lefty. You're a champ.
Yeah, but what about residual brain damage? I'll end up as some kind of judge or the High Commissioner to London. I could have been somebody, Slugger. I could have been a contender. Instead, I'm the Honourable Member for Palookaville.
Don't give up, Lefty. Don't give up. You're going for the big one. The Parliamentary Superannuation Scheme.
Yeah, every young member's dream.
Right on.
By God, Slugger, I'll do it.
Attaboy. Go out there and give him the old left. Right. Centre left. Hit him with an allegation about his family company.
Seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theatre. It's the Cooey Newsreel.
The dusty township of Warralorable in rural New South Wales, and farmer Ted Brainstorm surveys the ruins of his experimental crop of ravioli plants. Wearing his customary overalls made from corrugated iron, Ted clatters across the furrows, ankle deep in strands of dead ravioli. I planted a mal dente, declares a mournful Ted, but we never got the rain. A brave attempt by an Australian son of the soil ends in defeat. Ah well, you can't win them all, Ted. Hasta la vista. Alice Springs and the annual Red Centre's Truthing Fest gets underway with a preliminary bout outside the Royal Dingo Motel. Two heavyweight truckies go to it hammer and tongs, truthing furiously, but without much finesse. The bout ends as the older man succumbs to thirst and staggers inside. As night falls, the main contest begins. Look, that's Big Barry Mental, the contender, his powerful jaws already working. And here's the title holder, champion's truther Wayne, the Oath Barbecue. The two men face each other, the bell sounds, and it's on. Struth, struth, fires Barry, straight to the head. Wayne flinches, but counters with a half struth, then steps in close and King hits his opponent with the mightiest triple struth ever seen in the territory. Good on you, Wayne. My word, what a win. The annual Struthing Fest in Australia's rust red heart. China. And the Cooey Newsreel cameras capture an historic moment as Australian Ambassador Dick Cranium presents the Chinese people with a magnificent gift. 750 giant jars of Vegemite made specially to line the age-old Great Wall. In the new spirit of free enterprise that is sweeping China, Australia certainly didn't want to be left behind. So sandwich spread diplomacy seemed the obvious answer. Vegemite paves the way for Australia on the Great Wall of China. And Australian adventurer Neville Foolish flies in aboard his own personal aircraft, a 100-meter dirigible made from extruded banana skins and powered by hot air specially manufactured in Canberra. While in America, Neville hopes to raise money for his next great adventure, a trip to the sun using special lightweight instruments made from feathers and held in place by a revolutionary new substance called wax. Good luck, brave Neville, and Godspeed!
Across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Come in, Wilson.
Yes, Warden. You wanted to see me?
You're a fine prison officer, Wilson. One of the best.
Thank you, sir.
But I'm concerned about some of your recent behaviour. For instance, at the end of your shift yesterday, you left the prison concealed in the back of the laundry truck.
Damn it. I thought I hadn't been noticed.
Well, you were. Just like the time you stole some prisoner's clothes and slipped out the gate on day release.
Yeah, wasn't that great? I carved a pass out of soap.
The undoubted elegance of the escape doesn't enter into it. You don't have to escape. You're a warder.
Yes, sir. A habitual warder. Been in and out of jail most of my life.
Has it ever occurred to you that you may have become a little institutionalized?
No, sir. What makes you say that?
You approach the parole board for your annual holidays. You bang a tin cup before you say anything. You spend your lunchtime tying bedsheets together. And last week, you let us sit in demanding contact visits with your wife.
It's my basic human right.
For God's sake, man! You can go home every night.
Don't be silly, sir. That's the first place they'll look.
You're sick, Wilson. You're sick. 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 And now, it's beginning to affect the other warders. I caught McManus and Bartelli digging an escape tunnel behind the laundry.
What? They didn't tell me. It's supposed to go through the escape committee, you know.
The escape committee?
Yes, sir. We have regular meetings. Discuss plans, search each other for drugs, beat each other up, that sort of thing.
But why?
Well, it passes the time. We rarely get to see the prisoners anymore.
Oh, God. This thing has obviously gone further than I feared. You can go for now, but you haven't heard the last of this.
Yes, sir. If you want me, I'll be down behind the laundry.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir?
Lock me in, will you?
Righto. Lights out in 10 minutes.
But like the other children of the village, he considered their games both childish and silly. He had much more fun with his elephant gun, and he blew the little buggers away. The elders started noticing their kids were dead, most likely from the bullets landing in their heads. So they all had the meeting to decide what to do about Sabu and his elephant gun. So they strung him up in the noonday sun, and he was buried in the ground with his elephant gun. Now the moral of the story is plain to see. This is typical of the shit that's on my brand new LP. So avoid any album with a picture of me. If you don't, well, I think you are bloody silly. You've been done, you've been had. They saw you come and you see. So I've run out of words, now I will sing. Dee 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 da dee da dee 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 dee. Hello?
Boy, don't you just hate Hollywood parties? They're so tacky. All these would-be starlets trying to pick up has-been actors. It looks like a casting call for gold diggers of 1933. Of course, you'll never see a real star at a Hollywood party because they all have to stay home and take drugs for income tax purposes. Say, haven't I seen you in the movies? Yeah, you're... Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. You were big about 25 years ago. I mean, really big. Godzilla. Yeah, I recognize the scales. Wow, this is fantastic. I was your biggest fan. I've never been this close to one of my heroes before, especially one that single-handedly devoured half the known world. What sign are you? I bet you're an Aries. Do you know how I can tell? Your hands! Aries have got long artistic fingers and real slender hands, which they use a lot to express themselves. Of course, you've got claws, but the principle's the same. I've always considered you one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood. Someone on a par with De Niro or Hoffman. I mean, you could have done Tootsie with your eyes closed if they'd given you the chance. But producers in this town are so blind. Just because you're a 500-foot, fire-breathing green reptile, they think you can't act. Look, this party's a drag. Let's say we finish this conversation at my place. Green's always been my favorite color, you know. Oh. Sorry. Well, I guess if you're here with your boyfriend, that might be difficult. Yeah. Ciao.
Meanwhile, in the accounting department of a very large corporation.
Hector Land Montezuma, nee, Wahookan, Enchilada, Comfrey House, Acapulco. Nasty.
Mr. Philpott!
Oh, yes, sir?
What on earth are you up to?
Up to, sir?
Yes, what are you doing dressed in those feathers and waving that huge knife about?
Oh, this? Oh, just sacrificing a virgin, sir.
Sacrificing a virgin?
Yes, sir, Miss Jones from the typing pool. I shan't be long.
Philpott!
Yes, sir?
What do you mean you're sacrificing a virgin?
Well, just that, sir. I stretch Miss Jones over my desk here, chant a few sacred verses, raise the sacrificial knife and, sacrifice her. It's quite routine.
Routine?
Yes, sir. Look, it's standard accounting procedure. Whenever there's a discrepancy in the figures, we always sacrifice a virgin or two.
But why?
To placate Quetzalcoatl, of course, sir, the feathered serpent god of balanced books. Surely you've heard of him. The Central Americans have worshipped him for centuries.
Do you mean to tell me that my accounting department routinely practices Mayan blood sacrifices?
Oh, no, sir. Aztec, sir. We tried the Mayan rituals, but they didn't work. A lot of pagan mumbo-jumbo, if you ask me.
And you actually believe all this?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, sir. Since the firm introduced human sacrifice as a standard office procedure, business has improved 100%. Of course, absenteeism has risen a bit, but we're working on that.
Do you mean to say that this is going on in other departments too?
Of course, sir. We've all adopted the Aztec faith now. Sales, accounting, maintenance, personnel.
And you're all sacrificing virgins?
No, of course not, sir. I mean, you wouldn't sacrifice a virgin just to get the photocopier fixed. That's absurd. A couple of goats and a stick of incense would see you right there.
But this is barbaric, Philpott. You cannot have 16th century pagan rituals in a 20th century corporation. It's unheard of. I won't have it.
It got us the Benchley account, sir.
Nonsense.
And that new factory?
Oh, rubbish. That cost us an arm and a leg.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hancock's.
So that's why he keeps falling over.
And you remember that union business, sir?
You mean when the whole picket line suddenly turned into a row of small aromatic shrubs?
That only cost us two alarmers and a small rodent, sir. Plus a bit of chanting by personnel.
That's very cost-effective.
Exactly, sir. And it really is a lot of fun. Oh, the feathers, the incense, the primitive jungle rhythms.
Oh, all right, then. But only if I can play my bongos.
Or get down and boogie those bongos, sir.
We've been slightly out to lunch. Settle down, darling. Script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, David Witt, Peter Smalley, Steve Johnson, Ken Matthews, Colin Bowles, Vic Davies, Malcolm Lees, Adam Byrne, and Angela Webb. Like to try?
Yes, please. Original music by Ian Woodcombe, Vic Davies, and Malcolm Lees. Music director, Arthur Greenslade. Cooey consultant, Robert Parker. Script editor, Julianne Ford. Production assistants, Linda Hughes and Sylvie Carloff. Sound effects, John Farkas. Technical production, Nilis Maber. And produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I'm George Leslie. I'm Frieda Negus. I'm Nagel Ferdmonger. And I'm Lyle Ventspleen Hackattack. And we've smothered the globe for a sensational 60 minutes. A sensational hour of sensationally gory details. Sensational interviews with fun-loving Olympic standard upper-class twits, mass murderers and belligerent politicians. And absolutely sensationally expensive and overproduced commercials. We've delved and dug. Probed, peeked, pried, poked and peeked. We've peered, prodded, pumped and poked.
You've poked. You want to come back and do this promo again tomorrow, George? Go and sleep off the jet lag.
Okie dokie, Gerald. You know Georgie best. I knew Georgie best before he hit the piss. Promising soccer career right out the window, Gerald. Make a good story, that.
We've done it.
Oh, tragic.